Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Brian, thank you very much. More than a week of fighting between Israel and Hamas has shown little sign of abating, despite intense diplomatic efforts to stop the region's fiercest hostilities in years. Now, this afternoon, EU foreign ministers meet for a special summit to discuss the conflict. And speaking ahead of that meeting, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, had this to say in the Dáil last night.
Now is a time for de-escalation before even more lives are lost. We must encourage all efforts to reach a ceasefire. And beyond that, we must find a way to put an end to the repeated cycle of violence that we see over and over again. But I have to put on the record, it is hard to comprehend how the UN Security Council, the body in terms of international politics that is there to prevent conflict and to respond to it when it's taking effect, to bring it to an end, is unable to agree a clear joint statement on this issue. Not even to make a clear statement on the protection of civilians and children. Not even a call for a ceasefire. In the past week, I've spoken to my counterparts in the Middle East region to underline the need to protect civilians, bring an end to this violence, and to move towards political engagement. I've been in contact with the foreign ministers of Qatar, of Egypt, and of Jordan. But more is needed. The international community should and must come together to enable all efforts to reach a ceasefire immediately.
That's Minister Simon Coveney. And for a look ahead to the meeting of EU foreign ministers, I'm joined by Shona Murray, Europe correspondent for Euronews. Good morning, Shona.
Morning, Claire.
Strong words there from Minister Coveney when he was talking about the UN Security Council's inability to agree a clear joint statement, not even call for a ceasefire, as he said there. But that's likely to happen again, is it not, when it comes to the meeting of EU foreign ministers? Or how difficult do you think it will be for them to adopt a clear position on the Middle East?
Very difficult, yeah. I mean, there are, you know, there's such a problem with EU foreign policy anyway, because it requires every single member state to agree on the same issue, and often countries have very conflicting positions, and Israel and Palestine is one of those issues that really there is a very diffuse position from many member states. There are some countries, Hungary for example, the Czech Republic, even Austria, who regardless of any sort of calls around proportionality in relation to Israel's bombardment of Gaza, no matter how many children are killed during these hostilities, they will consistently defend Israel, and they will move away from, you know, calling for any sort of cessation of violence or, you know, even a proper statement in relation to the root causes of all this violence around the occupation and so on, the situation in Sheikh Jarrah and the things that actually created this level of hostility. So there's that. And there's other countries like Ireland, like Sweden, like Luxembourg, who will take a position which obviously condemns Hamas for sending indiscriminate rockets, but will call for a proportionate response from Israel. And there, we heard Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, saying last night that he believes that Israel's response has been wholly disproportionate. And I think looking at the number of 61 children who have been killed in Gaza so far, people could obviously, you know, agree with that statement. And so from an EU point of view, it'll be very difficult. And speaking to sources today, you know, they're pretty bleak about what can come out of this statement. I mean, obviously, there's countries like Germany, Claire, that we have to look at that for very specific reasons will never publicly confront Israel, because of course the Israelis will respond and say, well, you know, you orchestrated genocide of Jewish people. So there's that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, this one, because when the EU comes together, it's often those with the loudest voice who tend to manage to force a position when it comes to issues like taxation, for example. But on this one, unanimity really means that one country, one voice, one member state, one voice. So even if we look at Ireland's position now on the UN Security Council, it's not really going to make our voice louder at an EU level on this one.
Well, actually, I think, you know, speaking to people, they actually believe, though, that Ireland really does have an opportunity here, because Ireland's position has been very consistent and because Simon Coveney has been, and Ireland has been very strong on the issue of Palestine and Israel and the settlements for so long, that the EU member states that are in the Security Council, like France, like Estonia, that they can, you know, at least, you know, have a strong position and try to influence the Americans. Because remember, it's only the Americans that are holding the last resolution up. And that's a consistent policy of America. America. They have for decades held up any resolutions when it comes to the settlements situation in Gaza, except for in 2016 when Barack Obama allowed one very strong resolution in relation to condemning the increasing of settlements passed to an abstention. So Ireland does have a strong voice, and it is about, and there is a fair bit, as we heard from Simon Coveney there, a fair bit of shuttle diplomacy taking place amongst, let's say, Macron, who spoke to Fatah al-Sisi, the president of Egypt, last night. And I think key issue here, if we want to have any sort of level of optimism, is that Joe Biden has said that he's now calling for a ceasefire. So I'd say what we can probably expect the most out of this meeting today is a call that chimes with Joe Biden's call for a ceasefire, but with no particular end date. You know, I mean, a ceasefire was called by Joe Biden last night, and we still had huge bombardment by Israel overnight into Gaza. And of course, then hundreds of rockets sent by Hamas into Israel as well. So just because he's called for it doesn't mean that the Israelis will act immediately. But I think we could probably see an end in sight to these hostilities. But the problem is, you know, the situation of Sheikh Jarrah, of Silwan, you know, the settlements in East Jerusalem, they will still remain to be a huge problem. And the international community will turn a blind eye again, likely.
Well, that's just it, Shona. And you've touched on something that John Simpson, when we were talking to him on this programme yesterday, mentioned, that this will build into a crescendo. Many lives lost on both sides. A ceasefire will happen. This plays out again and again. We've seen it with the Middle East. And then the attention moves on somewhere else. So calling for a ceasefire, achieving a ceasefire, is one thing, but actually tackling the root problems here is quite another, and nobody wants to go there.
Absolutely. It's the most depressing part about this conflict is that cycle of violence. We've seen it with Protective Edge, CAS led, Operation Pillar of Defence, you know, 2014, 2012, 2009. And Hamas know it too, we have to say. I mean, Hamas knows when they send these test rockets, these pinprick, these rockets that are going into Israel, going into far as Tel Aviv now, they're actually much stronger in terms of their range. Normally, they only just hit places like Sderot and so on. They know that the response from Israel will be ferocious, and that they know that their own civilians are in a place, you know, 25 miles long, 10 kilometers wide, that their civilians will be killed and these children will be killed because it's so densely populated. And they have a responsibility to protect their own civilians too. But that's what happens. And then there's the international community. There's an uproar. We all call for a ceasefire. There's a few people let out of Gaza here and there. But nothing stops in relation to the incremental nature of settlements, the demolitions of Palestinians' homes. Palestinian homes, by the way, that have been funded by Irish taxpayers' money, you know, by European taxpayers' money. There isn't any response from Israel. And we know that, I suppose, over the last 4 years of Trump, we've had, you know, pretty much pro-Israel policy where Israel could do whatever it wants. And the two-state solution, or the promise of a state for Palestine, has really just come to an end, to the point now, Claire, where you have some agencies, human rights groups, saying that there's an apartheid system there. Of course, Israel would deny that. Mm-hmm. But you're right, 100%, is that we will talk about this ceasefire that will probably emerge over the next few days, and the Gazans will bury their dead, and Israelis will bury their dead, and there will be still no solution to the situation for Palestinians in East Jerusalem and, you know, places they call home too.
How striking was it at Sunday's UN Security Council meeting to hear just how much the European voice on this differed from that of the United States?
Yeah, very, very interesting. Well, I mean, it's interesting, but not in any way shocking, because, as I said, the US has always had a position that is pro-Israel, regardless of what has happened. And I do think that there are EU member states that have like Ireland, who want to take a much more open and better approach about actually sealing the deal for peace. And actually, there had been hope, a little bit of hope, that Biden might move in that direction. And I think he's also coming under pressure from some members of his Democratic Party to do so as well. We've never really seen that in the US before. But still, Israel is one of those issues that the US will, you know, it's such an important issue for voters in the US, and there's a huge lobby there too. So, you know, I just don't see the end. I mean, we'll see the hostilities end here, and in the next year or two we'll be back having the same conversation, and we'll still have 2 million people stuck in Gaza under siege.
All right, Shona, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Shona Mara there, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Now, coming up on the programme, Dr. Harry Barry will be with us about his new book on how resilience can help in changing times.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.